Blog Talk Radio.
Donald Lawrence and the Tri-City Singers featuring that girl, Leandria Johnson.
Listen, when a person becomes a believer, their spirit is made right. But sometimes the heart rim, the soul rim, the mind rim is a little slow getting the message because life has left a hole in it due to molestation, low self-esteem, abuse. But I came to tell you that God has come to heal the hole in your soul. My sister Leandria is going to help me with this story. Take your time, sister. Sing it for somebody.
Deliver me.
Rescue me from myself.
All I seem to do is hurt me.
Anybody overthink a lot? Overthink a lot. That hurts you.
Amen. Yes. Amen. 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 God is so good. Today is Thursday, Thirst for Truth. I am delighted to be here. This is a brand new year, and I'm still basking in the sunlight and enjoying every second, every minute, every hour, every day so far. It's just been a glorious day. Amen. God is just so good. You know, I just trying to marinate in the beauty and the joy of God and what He has done and what He's about to do. And I got a text from Brother Dave, and it talks about, it says, as iron sharpens iron. He got it from Proverbs 27:17. It says, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. And that is so true. You know, a friend helps another friend refine and gets better in what he or she is doing. And friend does sharpen friends, and his text on this last Tuesday was he talked about being lonely, and you know, you're not really alone, and you know, people talk about I'm so alone and loneliness, and we know that you know, as long as we got King Jesus and we know where He's coming from, and we know that we're never alone, and we might appear to be alone physically, but spiritually, we're not alone. Our God is an awesome God. He's always with us. We can always call on Him. That old spiritual hymn says, I got a telephone in my bosom, and I can call Him up anytime. That is so true. You know, when you're alone and you're feeling down and out and your patience appears to be running out, you know, just take that telephone. You got a telephone in your bosom. Call Him up. Call Him up. Amen. I am Elder Docs, coming to you under the auspices and direction of Kingdom Builders International Institute, under the direction of Pastor and Prophetess Teresa Docs. We are delighted to bring you messages each and every day. We're hoping that these messages will fill your heart so you can share it with someone else. Amen. Amen. God is just so good. And I am just delighted to be here. My prayer is just going to come out partly out of Proverbs 3:5. It says, my prayer is, righteous God, I know that I must trust in You with all my heart, and I know that I must not lean on my own understanding, because the path that I chose will lead me down a road of destruction. It is foolish to let my heart guide my path. So I place my life in Your hands. I pray that I never doubt in you and your wisdom. Instead, I will acknowledge you in all my ways so that you can grant me patience. Amen. So you can grant me patience and direct my path in line with your word. Amen. I'm going to be talking to you about patience. And I'm going to be coming out of, because it's a lot of us, as we can see in this day and age, in this political environment, you know, we're going to have patience. Because God is making this paradigm shift, we're going to have patience. You know, we have to be patient, not only patience with others, but patience with ourselves. So I'm going to be coming out of James 5, 7, and 11. Amen. God is just so good. You know, in James, in chapter 1, in verse 1, James says, servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting, my brother, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations. That literally means various trials. Dire's temptation means various trials. Knowing this, he says, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Don't we all need patience? But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and unbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive thing of the Lord. A double-minded man is unsuitable in all his ways, James 1 and 8. You know, we're talking about patience today, amen? Now that James, you know, is talking about patience, James began his work testing and trial by talking about patience. We're talking about patience today, my brothers and sisters. And he ends it talking about patience. Now, I begin in James chapter 5. I hope you have your Bibles out. It says, verse 7, it says, be patient, therefore, my brother, unto the coming of the Lord. Now, we sung tonight about the coming of the Lord, but he says, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman. When he's talking about that husbandman, that means the farmer. He's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth and has long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be also patient. Establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brother, the prophet who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. You know, we're talking about patience, my brothers and sisters. This is what we're talking about. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord. That is the fulfillment of God, of what God is going to do. You know, we saw what Job went through, but we also saw what the fulfillment of what God did for Job. Amen. It goes on to say that the Lord is very pitiful and tender mercy. Well, you know, it's wonderful. That's a wonderful scripture. And if we didn't do anything else but just read the scripture on patience, how it seems to move our hearts and speak to us. The scripture of patience will make you think twice, you know, about decisions making, make you think twice about handling certain situations, because you got patience. You just sit back and stand, have a little bit of patience and let the Lord works. You know, you can see the glory. You can see his glory. You know, what I really believe is you don't learn patience. You probably will learn very little of anything else. But if you don't learn patience, you probably will not learn much of anything else. For example, you know, if you certainly will learn to play the piano without patience, it's hard playing the piano without patience. You know, my sisters play the pianos without patience, play organs. They have to have patience to learn how to play the piano. You know, it's not easy to take on a task to play a piano, a violin, or organ, etc. But you have to have patience for these. You have to take time to learn the notes, to learn finger positionings. You have to know these things. But patience come into play. And then you wonder why you know when you was learning these things, your teacher will get upset, and then she's getting upset because she doesn't have patience because you're not listening and you won't have patience, and that's chaos. It's causing confusion. You can't learn to play without patience. You can't learn any foreign languages without patience. Anything is worth learning. You need patience. Amen. Our God is an awesome God. I'm trying to teach here, brothers and sisters. We're talking about patience. You know, when we use the word patience, the kind of patience we're talking about is not that tedious. It involves time. It's about understanding. It's involved a word. It's a Bible word that I consider, you know, is very precious. It's to have patience. The word that you know that I am using from the Book of James is to be able to bear up under great pressure. That's patience. To be able to bear up under great pressure. That's what the Greek word means, to bear up under. Literally, it means to endure. We're talking about patience. And it just might be better, rather than translating it patient, if we just translate it to endure. You got to endure. You got to be able to wait and deal with the situation. My brothers and sisters, I picked this, you know, I picked this word patient, and it blessed me so much that I just thought I would just teach it today, because many of us, you know, we're going to have trials and tribulations, and we have to, as we go through these trials and tribulations, we have to understand that we need patience as we endure through it. And then, you know, then we know we have to have patience, because we have to listen to what's going on. Most of us dream of becoming rich or famous or doing great things, you know, for the Lord. But we thought life would be meaningful and exciting, but instead our lives are routine. Our daily work seems of no consequences at time or at certain times. You know, even worse, we're either unemployed, we're either ill or stricken with some kind of disease or our age caught up with us. The others, you know, we do exciting things and tell of their success, what's going on, while day by day we seem to go unnoticed about what's going on around us. But God knows. He saw the poor woman that threw two coins in the collection plate. He knew that Moses was tending sheep for 40 years. Jesus often used the service of ordinary people on his way to great things. We are ordinary people. We are on our way to great things. Amen. And we have to understand that God will use anybody he chooses to do his work. If you won't do it, he'll find somebody that will. The boy with the five loaves and two fish, Mary and her perfume, Simon to carry the cross. Jesus know about the car that broke down three blocks from your house, the poor marks on your children report cards, the bad temper of your supervisors, you know, the constant headache, the dull jobs and dead-end jobs that you seem to run into, the stubborn children and the alien relatives that we all have. If it concerns you, remember this, my brothers and sisters, if it concerns you, it concerns Christ. Amen. Isn't that beautiful? You know, we worry about, you know, my daughter, my son, my mother, my father, my brothers, you know, and go on and on, my job. But if it concerns you and you righteous with the Lord and you pray, it concerns him also because you are his child. Amen. It is beautiful. It concerns Christ because we are part of him. We're a member of his body. You know, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18 says, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. Amen. It has pleased God to put you where you are. He is watching to see if you are faithful in the monotony as well as in trouble or persecution or prosperity. Are you faithful? Do you have the patience? Now, it's one thing to be faithful in trouble. It is another thing to be faithful in persecution. It is one thing to be faithful in prosperity. Amen? You know, sometimes it's faithful to be monotony. Huh? I mean, in monotony, I mean in the same old life. God calls most of us to do only the ordinary. And sometimes the menial task of life. We probably cannot see his purpose, but we must not refuse to meet the needs that he puts before us. Amen. Talk to me, somebody. Do we see what the Lord is trying to put before us? We probably cannot, because his purpose is our purpose, but we must not refuse to meet the needs that he puts before us. Do not despise the day of small things. We may not see the effect of our efforts, but we can leave the outcome to God. When Peter asked what would happen to John, Jesus told him what? He said that it was not Peter's problem. Jesus told him, follow me, and that is our task. Is to follow Jesus. You know, sometimes, you know, we carry the burdens instead of leaving it at the altar. Amen. Now, listen to this. It takes more grace to care for a handicapped person than for a famous preacher. Don't worry, Jesus followed. You know, it is harder to tithe if you're poor than if you're a millionaire. You know, I don't think you're hearing me. Let me just go over this one more time. You know, here's the beautiful part. Listen to this. It takes more grace. My brother and sister, my saints, listen. It takes more grace to care for a handicapped person than for a famous preacher. Now, a lot of us like to take care of the preacher, and we think it, you know, we have the grace. But, you know, you step back a little bit, you know, and help those that if we see a handicapped person, if we see someone that needs this arm, this legs of ours, this voice of ours. It takes grace to step in the role, to step in that position. But don't worry. Jesus, follow Jesus. It is hard, or just follow Jesus, what I'm trying to say. It is hard to tithe if you are poor. than if you are a millionaire. Don't fret. Just follow Jesus. You recall that it was the servant with only one talent that did not use it. God does not give us a quota to fill, but he does ask us to be faithful. You see, what most of us need is, amen, patience. What most of us need, amen, is endurance. What most of us need. I am not just talking about those people who are in the big things and the dramatic things, but I am talking about the people who are in the routine, the day-by-day things. And when you talk about the big and the dramatic and the routine and everything in between, I think that just about include all of us, doesn't it? It does. And every one of us is to be faithful. Now, most of us get antsy. One man said, my problem is that I am in a hurry and God isn't. Amen. But our God is always on time. You know, we have our own time. We keep looking at our watch. Come on, God, when are you going to do this? Come on, God. I've been driving for 2 hours. I ain't made it there yet. We on our time. But our God is never late. Our God is always on time. Amen. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. You know, it says that, it's a little poem that goes like this. It says, this is the age of the half-read page, the quick hash and the mad dash, the bright night and the nervous tight, the plain hop with the brief stop, the lamp tan in a short span, the brain strain and the heart pain, the cat nap till the spring snap, and the fun is done. Ha, that's the way we live. Many of us ought to just pray, Lord, give us patience. We want things now. You know, what have you done for me lately? We want it now. Microwave, we want it now. Everything is preventing us from learning how to have patience, from praying to have patience. You know, we need to have patience. Amen. You know, God is telling us, you know, stand. Take your time. You don't have to rush. They said, the Bible verse that says, can't quite quote it, says, be anxious for nothing. You know, and that is true. So now we're so anxious for this. Oh, man, I want that ice cream. I want this. And once you get it, you don't even feel like eating it anymore. Once you get whatever you want, you don't feel like wearing your new clothes. You wanted it so bad. Amen. Be anxious for nothing. Now, James here talks about patience doing his perfect work. Now, he said, I want to talk about patience, you know, in our perfect work. I want to talk to you about three things patience will do for you. I might not get through all three, but I really want to touch on certain things that patience has for us. Amen. We're talking about patience, my brothers and sisters. We're talking about patience. I mean, our God is an awesome God, patient. And we're talking about the first thing of patience is, patience is necessary for maturity. And we all know about patience and maturity. You know, patience is necessary because if you will look in verse 2, it said, my brother, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, as James 1 and 2. It said, now the word for temptations here means trial. The word for temptation means trial. It means testing. Now the word temptation in the book of James is used in two senses. It says, and I want to tell you this, because if I don't tell you this, then you'll get hopelessly confused in James. Amen. Sometimes the word temptation means a trial or a testing. Sometimes it means an inducement to do evil. You see the difference between the two? A testing and an inducement to do evil. Oh, you don't hear me. Let me just keep going. For example, in verse 2, he said, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptation. But look at verse 13. It says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil. Amen. Let me go back a little bit. Temptation means two things. It can mean trial or testing. Sometimes it means an inducement to do evil. Amen. Now let me jump up a little bit further. It says that God, people say, I am tempted by God, tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil. Neither tempted he any man. That's in James 1 and 15. Well, that seems almost contradictory. If you don't understand what the word temptation here is used in two senses. The first, there's the temptation, which is test from God. Amen? That's the first one. The temptation that is test from God. And there's the other temptation, which is an inducement to do evil. That comes from the devil. The temptation that comes from the devil, the temptation to sin. Amen. Is sent by the devil to cause us to stumble. The temptation of trials, the trials of life are sent by God. Amen. To cause us to stand. Oh, you don't hear me. But this is so good. Let me just continue to taste more. The devil wants us to sin so that we might stumble. God wants us to overcome that we might stand. Oh, this is so good. You don't hear me. I don't think you hear me. Let me just do this one more time. Amen. The temptation comes from, you know, we're talking about the temptation that induce evil, you know, comes from the devil. The devil has temptation that is the temptation of sin. He wants you to sin. That's the devil temptation. It is sent by the devil to cause you to stumble, to cause you to do things that's not appropriate, to cause you to say things that's not of God, to cause you to step in the pit hole. Amen. But the temptation of trials of life are set by God to cause you to stand. See, the devil wants you to sin so that we might stumble, but God wants us to overcome that we might stand. Now, these trials are there. God sends trial. This kind of testing, for one purpose, God allows us to have trouble. As a matter of fact, God manufactures trouble for us. Isn't that beautiful? God manufactured trouble for us. It means, God says, just rejoice when it comes because I have a purpose in it. Amen. I mean, we know that as we go through these experiences and these trials and tribulations, don't we come out better? Don't we say to ourselves, I ain't going to make that mistake anymore, man. See, God tests us. He gives us the trials. And it's to make us stronger. It's to mature us so we can be more mature, so we can have the grace, so we can have the patience, so we can have the endurance to push on. Oh, you don't hear me. Hey, you don't hear me. Amen. God is telling us that he's there for us. And his temptation is to make us strong, to anchor us, so we won't be so easily moved by the devil temptations. Amen. Trials are going to happen. You know, notice in verse 2, it said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. It said, not if, but when. Everybody here in one or three categories. We all experience so much. I mean, we're either just getting out of trouble, we're getting in trouble, or we're just fixing to get into trouble. You just count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation. When trials produce the patience that we need, knowing this, it says, that the testing of your faith worketh patience. James 1:3. See, all these trials and tribulations, it makes us stronger. It gives us the endurance to run that race. That test is a testimony for us to share with others. Amen. And we know by asking for patience, it gives us the added benefit when we get into the ring and fight. Just keep your finger there for a minute on this patient deal, and let's turn back to Romans chapter 5. It says that makes us even more plain. It makes it even more plain for us to understand when you pray for patience. Let me just show you that what you're really praying for when you pray for patience, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations worketh patience. Romans 5:3. That what tribulation does for us, it gives us patience. It says what tribulation does, it gives you patience. So when you're saying, Lord, give me patience, you say, Lord, send me tribulation. Well, you say, well, then I don't think I'll pray for patience anymore. Well, listen to me, friend. It said God has a wonderful plan for your heart and for your life. So what God makes no mistakes. Patience is going to make us stronger. Patience is going to make us taller in the Lord. It's going to make us grow. Amen. Our God is an awesome God. And he's just so powerful. He is just so powerful. Amen. So there's this saying that patience hurts. I can recall that when I was in high school, I was playing football my senior year. And I was hoping to get scholarships and all this other good stuff, right? And here it is. We were playing a great school. It was a good Catholic school in football. And it was the second game of the season, if I'm not mistaken, second or third game. And I think the next week was our homecoming. And I broke my ankle. I mean, I got clipped from the back. The guy hit me from the back as I was running down the field on a punt return. I'm trying to tackle this guy, and this guy hit me from the back. Amen. And after weeks of healing from surgery, however, I never had surgery. I told the doctor, if he could only put an ACE bandage around it and let me just come back and I don't want to cast. I just want to get back into the game, just be part of the team. As Brother Dave said, these soldiers that get hurt, they want to, although they only got one leg, they'll say, repair me so I can go back there with my brothers in arms, with my brother's soldiers, so I can go back to help them fight. And that's what I wanted to do. I said, look, I wanted to go back there, I don't want to cast, just do something to get me back out there. The doctor looked at me and said, okay, I'm going to just go along with him, He said, okay, I'll put an ACE bandage, you got to exercise your ankle, yada, yada, yada. So finally, I got clear, but by the time, I got healthy, the season was over with. Amen. But he knew it. But I just had that heart that I wanted to go back and do this. But the first time that I put the weight on my foot, I hit the floor and it burned the calves and my ankle started to wobble and it took weeks a few more painful repetitions to keep trying to walk on it. And then before I know it, it became easier. And by the time I was I was ready for the battle again. The battle was over. The game was over. Amen. Patient of hurts. So you got to have patience. Oh, yeah, I cried on the football field. Yes, I cried because I wanted to play the game. And I thought about, you know, I thought about my brothers out there that's out there working hard on my behalf, trying to win the game for me after I was hurt, you know. And each week after that, they were playing hard. And they saw me on crutches and yada, yada, yada. I'm telling you, patience. Patience is something that God understands. I mean, patience. He deals with this 24/7. I can only imagine how much tests. I can only imagine. Because I know what I went through. And I can imagine how much I test God weekly, daily, even hourly. Yet I never wobble when I was trying to walk again under the strength, the weight of my body on those ankles. Amen. You have to have an endless supply of patience. And you have to be willing to ask God for it. You have to be willing when you are granted patience. Share that patience with others. Amen. Because our God is an awesome God. Patience. We're talking about patience, my brothers and sisters. Patience is hard. It is very hard. We're talking about patience. But if we learn patience, if we pray for patience, it becomes easy. A person can yell and scream all they want. And before you know it, you have patience. You're not reciprocating back, but yet you have impatience. And before you know it, that person just talked him or herself out. We're talking about patience. Patience, my brothers and sisters. And we know we must say that, you know, Lord, today is rough. And I haven't even climbed out of bed yet. There's too much clouding my mind today. Too much to face. I can only feel the meltdown brewing after so much that I've been going through. I don't even have enough patience with myself or anyone else to make it through the morning, let alone the day. We think that way sometimes. Man, I don't know if I got patience for that person today. You know, I just don't have it. And sometimes we even say it to our spouse, I don't have the patience today, baby. I don't have the patience. Oh, no, I'm not going to the store again for the third time today. No. And sometimes, you know, grandmama, no, you know, mother-in-law, mama, come on, mama, again? No, but you have to. But once you have that patience, you can understand. You know, we don't know what's on the other side of the fence, but we must have patience. Come on now, come on, we must have patience, because sometimes we don't want to say the wrong things, because we're all going to go through that trial and tribulation, that testing. And then once you do it, you feel good about it. It's all right, because you don't know when one day you might be trying to grab on somebody. Can you do this? Can you do that? And they'll look back at you and tell you, I don't have patience. I don't have the patience. So I'm saying God is good. God is good. He's an awesome God. Amen. I'm just going to go on a little bit further. And now I say that we're talking about patience. No one can live above sin unless they have a room over the pool hall. That isn't what he means. When he says, be perfect, the word perfect means mature. Amen. We're talking about when the Bible says that you may be perfect, the Bible does not mean that you may be sinless. No one can live above sin. Amen. You know, that is a perfect flower, we always says. You know, I don't mean that's a sinless flower. I mean that's a perfect flower. We look at a baby and say, well, that's a perfect baby. Perfectly formed. Sin is not. That's not. What James is talking about, he's not saying that you may be sinless. He's saying that you may be mature. Now, one of the perfect works of patience is maturity. God wants to bring you to maturity. For example, an oak tree, an oak is the perfection of an acorn. Amen. An oak tree, if that's a mature acorn, when you are discouraged and feeling a little blue, take a look at a mighty oak and see what a nut can do. You see, an oak tree is the perfection of an acorn. Now, God is saying this, you have faith, but I am going to mature that faith. And the only way that your faith can be mature is by endurance. It's by maturity. It's by patience. You mature under stress. You grow under stress. You can cite your experience and help others under stress. Our muscle grows by lifting weights. Oh, man, does it. I have a son. He loves weightlifting. I mean, this man can lift weights. I don't know where sometimes where he's coming from. He lifts so much weight. And you can see how his muscle is maturing. And sometimes he tries to coach me into doing it. But see, I can't work on his level. He works out every day. I don't have that discipline like I had years ago. And some of you work out, and I do a little bit. But not as nearly as much. But almost anybody who has been around a gymnasium or had anything to do with athletics know that they're almost a cliche. No pain, no strain, no gain. Right? Well, yeah, we all know this. I mean, God doesn't want you to be a spiritual cream puff. A lot of us are flabby spiritually. Amen. We are flabby spiritually. You know, I won't mention other parts, but just flabby spiritually, we are. We live weekly. The days of the week, but weak as in no strength. We live weakly. And we die sadly because we do not respond to the trials and God gives us. And when trials come, we just want to have the trials removed rather than understanding that James says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse situation. Amen. Our God is an awesome God. And I'm just going to end this right now today because what I'm telling you is our God is an awesome God. So all we have to do, if we want God to be part of our lives, if we want to surrender all that we have to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we must. In Romans 10:9, it says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it is your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Just those little words. You say those little words and believe in your heart. You're one of God's children. He wants you. Find yourself a good Bible-based church. someone that, you know, some a church that you can sit and understand and be hungry for the word, because you're steadily learning. You want to thirst for more. You know, you want to get past the first grade because you want to know more, and go to the third grade because you want to find that church that's going to make you grow, that's going to mature you. It's going to give you that endurance, that patience to go on, to move further, to press on towards the mark. Amen. My brothers and sisters, find that place. Surrender yourself and let God pull you up by your bootstrap and take you to the next level. Amen. I just want to thank you for being a gracious listener, and I pray that God continue to allow you to be obedient to his word. And I thank you for being obedient by just listening in, by your comments. And I just thank God for you. And God knows I do. And I love you with the love of Christ. And you're always in our hearts, Pastor and I. You're always in our hearts. We're always praying for you. Amen. So I'm just going to turn this over to Pastor and Prophetess Teresa Dox. Amen.
Well, praise God, everyone. We want to thank you for just tuning in to another broadcast with Elder QT Docs and Kingdom Builders. And we want to just encourage you to continue to grow in patience. You know, the Bible says when you ask for patience, you get some tribulation. God will teach you how to be patient. So you have to be careful what you ask for. You just might get it. But as we're growing in Christ, some things take you to have patience. When people are going through, to have patience with them, it's very crucial, it's very important that we're able to endure and not quit. Amen. So again, I just want to thank Elder, because it's always a sound word, and it's nothing like being able to get on the line, pick up the phone in the comfort of your home, go on the internet, and then you can listen to the word of God. Amen. God is innovative. God is a businessman. He know how to get the message to us. Amen. He know how to teach us. And I want to encourage you in this season that you would ask God to show you where you need his grace to endure some things that really, really upset you, some things that you know you don't have the grace for. Ask God for that supernatural grace, and in getting that grace, you will be able to have patience. You have the patience for it because you have the grace for it. Amen. Some things you just know, I just don't have the grace for this. It comes from the Lord. And knowing that if this is your assignment, God will grace you with an anointing to overcome. So I want to thank you again. I want to thank everyone that's sowing seeds into the ministry. Please keep Elder and I in your prayers as we walk up the King's Highway. We want to encourage you to connect with someone that you are able to sow into ministry, that you're able to minister to. You're able to change their mindset so that you can be used for the glory of God. You can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/KBDI, and you can listen to all of our mini broadcasts. You know, you can even have a day where you have someone on the line. Do a three-way. Call into the broadcast. Just listen in. God has placed some anointed dynamite teachers in our reach, and we thank God for it. So we want to encourage you to continue to stay prayerful, continue to fight the good fight of faith, and continue to recognize when the enemy is in your presence and fight spiritually and not in the natural. So again, we bless you, we love you, and stay encouraged in the things of the kingdom. You know what side, what kingdom you're in. And we want to say we love you and know that God will provide. God bless you all.
God provides, so why do I worry about my life? When you come to my rescue 1,000 times, every other voice it is a lie. God provides, God provides in ways I can't explain and can't deny. The little that I have, he multiplies. Just when I feel he won't show up on time, God provides. He'll come through when the clouds of doubt rain down on you and test everything you thought you knew. Now you finally see what God can do for you. So tonight, close your eyes, there's no more need to fight. Watch God provide. God provides. It's hard to say when there's no food to eat, or what you see feels all that life will be. And will this be another year of misery for me? But my faith can't survive on just things I see, and my feelings can't control my destiny. See, God, I only want what you believe for me. there's no more need to fight. Watch God provide.